Everybody, huddle up. Live from the Great Dane Pub and Brewing Company, this is the Great Dane Huddle featuring Badgers legend and special guest host, Barry Alvarez.
I'd love to coach a game like that.
Oh, man.
They may not see a pass in the second half. And that was good. That would be the shortest second half in Camp Randall history. We'd run, I'd run that clock. That game would be over. We'd be home having cocktails at 3:30.
On 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand, alongside former Badgers Derek Engler and Tarek Sala, here's Alex Gravatt.
Well, that was tough. The Eagles win the Super Bowl handily. This is the Great Dane Huddle. I'm Alex Gravatt alongside Tarek Sala, Derek Engler, the Rose Bowl champions here at the Great Dane downtown. And, of course, joined from his nondescript location, Coach Barry Alvarez. Now, guys, let's get into it. I mean, it's all you guys ever want to talk about. It's the big guys up front. And I know we don't have to beat this dead horse because, of course, the Eagles already did that, the dead horse being the Kansas City Chiefs. But, right. Derek, you got to be a little fired up about that performance from the Eagles' D-line.
More disappointed, actually, in Kansas City's offensive line, to be honest with you, because that's a good unit.
I don't know if Alex knows that you played offensive line and not defensive line.
But well, you're always talking about the big boys.
The trenches.
Through time, you'll learn. No, just kidding. But, yeah, no, that trenches warfare was crazy. I mean, that D-line was amazing, and the linebackers, the whole defense was great.
Coach, when you see a game that's that lopsided, in that important of a moment, what does that say to you?
It shows you how impressive and dominant the Eagles are, and what a great job they have done. I can remember those D linemen from the nose guard and the three technique, the defensive linemen from Philadelphia. Those guys, I remember when they played at Georgia. I can remember the nose guard specifically. I kept watching him in the bowl games, and no one could block him. I mean, he dominated a game, and I kept thinking, he's the best player in football. And the Eagles are smart enough, they draft him early. And he's done the same thing there. And then the guy following him, the three technique, is doing the same thing. And they're doing it in the NFL. They're just better than everyone else. They take over the line of scrimmage.
And, Coach,
it's impressive.
You called it last week as we were signing off. You're a PA boy. You're bringing it back, the Lombardi, back home to Philadelphia. How you feeling? Did you enjoy the game at all?
No, I didn't. I wanted to watch it. I wasn't rooting for Philadelphia. Everyone was taking Kansas City, Mahomes, which is a smart bet if you're betting. But I just had a good feel for Philadelphia. I wanted to watch a good game. That's what I want. At a Super Bowl, you know, I'm at a friend's house and with some other people. I wanted to see a good game. I did not want to see a rout. And so I was disappointed in it.
That's fair. Guys, how did you stay busy? How did you enjoy the game? Or were you able to at all?
Yeah, hard. I mean,
it was hard.
I had the kids, so the family. So we did the numbers, you know, and everybody got squares and, you know, just keep them involved with that, some other stuff. You know, my wife and my daughter my daughter's really artistic, so she colored this whole menu up, so we had courses throughout, you know, but the game was terrible. Even my daughter's like, Dad, this is awful. Like, she doesn't watch football, number one, but she's like, this is terrible. I'm like, yeah, it is. And like Coach said, especially the Super Bowl, the biggest stage, you want to see competition. You don't want to see that, you know, not the two best on the field.
And look, Philly's awesome, but Kansas City's not that bad. I think they didn't show
up. Kansas City's really good. I thought they weren't. I think Andy Reid's got to take some ownership in this because I thought it was a terrible game plan. You know, they were forced to go away from the run. You know, I think they only had like 11 rushes, you know, which put a lot
of. They didn't try to run the ball.
No. Not at all.
Coach.
No, they didn't try to run the ball.
That's not your style.
No.
No.
Well, no. I mean, what they had to do was hang on to the ball and keep it away. And they didn't even attempt to, which is not smart.
And then you had Kansas City defense. They showed up. They stopped the run early on. They kept Saquon in check. And then the offense just doesn't do anything. And to Derek's point, Andy Reid's got to take accountability. You know, I don't know, Kelce, you know, I guess Mahomes didn't really give him a chance, but his feet were moving all the time. Brady was saying it, but, like, still, you know.
What, they have three first downs first half? That's awful.
Well, I thought it was one. One first down, and they had four rush attempts the entire first half, something like that. I was trying to keep everyone engaged. We made Super Bowl bingo squares. I had my own little bingo board. We had Taylor Swift sightings because I was with my girlfriend and her friends, and they're all big Swifties, so it was like very Travis Kelce and Chiefs themed.
They didn't show her very much because there was nothing to cheer about.
No, wow. And no one was excited. They didn't have the Kelce family on. It was just kind of boring all through, and no one could get bingo because I was one friendship bracelet sighting away from somebody getting a bingo. And that would have been the one. That would have been what's exciting. But this is the Great Dane Huddle. I'm Alex Cravat alongside Tarek Saleh and Derek Engler at the downtown location of the Great Dane.
You know, Coach made a good point. I was watching that. I think he's referring to that number 93, Milton Williams. He had two sacks, two TFLs. Now, I know Kansas City's center was banged up. And I don't know if that had anything to do with it or not, but I just thought up front, the Chiefs' offensive line, just they weren't ready. I couldn't believe it. I mean, and they were only bringing
– Well, they couldn't block them.
Yeah, they were only bringing four.
Derek, whether they were ready or not,
that's
I mean,
right.
This is a Super Bowl.
Right.
I just don't think they were good enough to block them.
Fair enough. Yeah, I was really disappointed.
How the hell did you say they weren't ready to play in the Super Bowl? Are you kidding me?
You got a bye week. Set yourself up all week to plan for it. You saw them all year. Now, Tarek, you watched a D-line go out there and just dominate, right? They maybe blitzed once in the first half or something like that. Were you, like, excited to watch an offensive line just get annihilated like that?
Well, to a certain extent, but I'm more into having a good game. You know what I mean? You want a good game, and I just, like I said, I was very disappointed in Mahomes and the whole outfit on offense. You know, you saw some glimpses of guys, you know, Worthy. I know the other receiver wanted to make plays, you know.
DeAndre Hopkins?
Yeah. Travis Kelce said, hey, I want to win this for those guys. Well, he didn't look like he was out there to win it for those guys. Mahomes didn't look like he was out there ready to go. Those two guys in particular were probably the biggest letdown besides the offensive line. They could have made some things happen. They didn't do it. When they had time to do it, they didn't do it. They didn't show up.
So you don't put a lot of the blame on Patrick Mahomes?
No, I put a lot on him. I put a lot on Kelce, most of all on the offensive line that wasn't ready. But those two players and that offensive line let everybody down, in my opinion.
That goes back to the coach. A coach has got to get team ready. That's a coach's job. You're playing in the Super Bowl, and you had 2 weeks. And you don't have a team ready to play in the Super Bowl? I mean, I don't know how that's inexplicable.
Especially when it's your fourth Super Bowl in 5 years. So, none of it made a lot of sense to me, Derek.
Well, this is an easy excuse for Kansas City, but I don't want to say old hat, but you're going to three-peat. You'd think that they'd really dial it up and focus in on that, but, you know, they've been there the last 2 years. Is there a little bit of a, you know, comfort zone? I don't know. It sure looked like they got into a comfort zone. Complacent.
That should give them an advantage, the fact that they had been there.
Right, right.
And they understand it. Now, I was going to ask that, Derek, because I think it would be interesting, you having played in the Super Bowl, what is that week like for a team?
That week is
It's actually crazy. 2 weeks, right?
Right. Well, so I'm so old, you know, we only had 1 week back then to prepare. We didn't have – well, no, we did have 2 weeks. We stayed – we had 1 week in Jersey, and then we, of course, went down to Tampa. You're right. We did have 2 weeks. And it is – you know, Coach Fossil took a different approach. I think I've talked about this before than Coach Billick. He had us locked down. I think we had one night, the first night we got there with no curfew. I know the Ravens had no curfew all the way through Wednesday. I think Wednesday or Thursday was their first curfew night. Not that that, whatever. But he also had them done by like 5 o'clock. We were in meetings till 7:30. You know, by that time, yeah, it's too late. You're ordering room service up to your hotel room. There's, you know, you're taking service elevators in the back. You're not really around people. You know, God forbid if you're turning on ESPN and seeing, you know, the vaunted Baltimore Ravens defense, the best since the 85 Bears. You know, so there's a mental psyche approach where you're such in a bubble. You know, not that that's an excuse, but I will tell you, even warm-ups, you could see the Ravens, like, loose. And you know, Coach, to go back to your question, you know, Monday, Tuesday is media day in that circus. But typically, you know, we'd get up the training room, you'd have media, you'd have practice, you'd have workouts, you go back, you have meetings, you know, you have a little break, and then more meetings. But it was lockdown for us. I don't think every, obviously, team takes that approach. But for us, we didn't really leave. It was practice in the hotel, and that was it.
And yeah, do you think there's a chance that you overprepared, that you weren't able to get into a natural state?
I'll take a page, and I'll let Coach respond to this, but I'll just kind of throw an analogy out there with how he prepared us for bowl games. He let us have fun, but we worked too. I mean, you got to enjoy the experience. It's the Super Bowl, right? I mean, you got to do both. It's a delicate balance.
I've been on both sides of that. I've really studied that. That's why I wanted to hear your opinion. When I went to Iowa, or when I was at Iowa, our third year, we went to the Rose Bowl. Iowa hadn't been to a bowl game in 17 years. And Hayden Fry, all knowing, like he's been to every bowl in the history of the world, you know. We go to Pasadena 17 days early. We were getting our guys
17?
Up.
17? Wow.
17 days. We didn't have an indoor facility. We were out there 17 days. We were getting the guys up first, you know, like bright and early, big breakfast, go work out, come back in the afternoon, meetings. We kept them busy. We didn't give them any free time. It was torture for our players. And I can remember Bobby Stoops. He was a freshman. And I can remember him coming up to me and said, "Coach, could you talk to Coach Fry? Just give us a little free time. We'd like to go to the pool." Yeah. You know, they weren't doing anything. And we didn't have a chance. And in the same time, token, I was watching. We're playing Washington. Don James is the head coach. They'd been to bowl games, the Rose Bowl in particular. And I watched what they were doing. They had no hours until about 3 days before the game, just like game week. They gave guys cars. They, you know, there was no get up. You know, they practiced at 3 in the afternoon. So the guys could go out and have fun. They had vehicles to get around in. They had their practice, had good practices. And here are our guys. We're going 2-a-days. We're torturing them. And we had no chance. And so I really, you know, we really had a good record. Actually, our bowl record was better than anybody's for a while. And I think a lot of it was how we handled the bowls and how we allowed our guys to have fun, yet prepared them, put the game plan in before you left, practiced on campus before you went to bowl site, all those things. There are a lot of little things that you can do to prepare for a bowl. And so it's all pretty interesting stuff, but it's really important to the game that your players are fresh and want to be there. They don't want to go there and get beat up every day.
G-Man, I mean, Tarek, you can comment on this too. I mean, our Rose Bowl experience, you might remember this.
Yeah.
Where Coach, you know, rented out a sports billiards hall, bar and grill type thing with just us. You know, they had, you know, you got the jukebox, you got, you know, pool, you know, yeah, games on. And it was just that, and food. It was awesome. I mean, we appreciated that more than anything. Yep. Of course, we did like the Dinner of Champions in Century City, which was super cool. And, you know, he had Tommy Lasorda come out and talk to us, you know, from the Dodgers, of course. And, you know, but we got after it now in practice. I mean, we even conditioned. Remember, we ran 10 hundreds.
Now, and that, along with that, though, before the billiards deal, we had a sit-down dinner, which wasn't a buffet, which normally 99% of the experience is you eat from a buffet, which isn't always bad. But to sit down and have someone take your order is an experience for a lot of us. You know what I mean? Because we had, you know, a lot of kids don't go out to dinner often and understand how to order. You know, we're just going up to the buffet everywhere. So that was a great experience to go over there and party with just our team together. And then we had to pay the price the next day, and we're doing, you know, goal line scrimmages and getting after it, but then we're going on having fun after that.
I love to hear it. And you guys are superstars. You have been superstars for us. You were superstars for the Badgers for quite some time, too. I want to talk about what makes a team good versus having superstars coming up next. But if you need a superstar, Janesville Kia is located right off Interstate 90, only minutes away from Madison. They treat people the way they'd like to be treated. See for yourself why people all over Wisconsin have experienced the difference that Janesville Kia can make, and they've told their friends. Come see Kia's groundbreaking lineup of award-winning vehicles with an industry-leading 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty. Experience the difference great customer service makes today at Janesville Kia. This is the Great Dane Huddle, live from the downtown location of the Great Dane, live on 100.5 ESPN. Not alive from the downtown location of the Great Dane, which is, I mean, I don't mean to be biased, but it's the closest to my home. It's centrally located. I love the pool hall here. It's just a good time being down here. I'm Alex Fred alongside Tarek Salah, Derek Engler, the Rose Bowl champions, and of course, the athletic director, former head coach of the Wisconsin Badgers football team, Coach Barry Alvarez. But we do have one special moment coming up here in just a second. Before we get to that, I want to hear a little bit more. Coach, the Chiefs felt like they had all of the superstars in this game, whereas the Eagles just outperformed them. Do you think that sometimes you need the superstar or sometimes you need just a good team? What is more impactful in your eyes?
Well, obviously, they both have very good players, or they wouldn't be playing in the Super Bowl. The important thing is to have everyone, sounds trite, that they want to be there, and they understand the importance of the game, and they want to prepare for the game. And it was obvious, you know, there was a team that was really prepared.
Go ahead, Coach. I was just going to say, G-Man, I'd argue that Philly had more superstars. You know, I know the media loves Kelce and Mahomes and, you know, so on and so forth, and Chris Jones, of course. But I would argue, you know, across the board, I mean, when you're looking at Saquon, which arguably, you know, could be the MVP, right?
You got
Antonio Brown. You got Devontae Smith.
Both had superstars.
Yeah.
They both had superstars.
I'll just come out and say it. Look, they were better at every position for the most part, other than the quarterback position. And Hurts did his job.
Even at the tight end position.
Yeah, I think Goddard is younger and he does more and. I don't know. I think that Kelsey's getting long on the tooth. Now, Chris Jones
was the other one. I take
Chris Jones over any defensive lineman. I guess that would be the other one. But
yeah,
there's not many other guys that I would take other than what would
this is. This still is a team game, boys.
Amen.
Speaking
it's
of
still
the,
about
team.
The team, and it's about being a team that's sound on both sides of the ball and knows what it wants to do. On both sides of the ball, particularly offensively.
you know, Jalen Carter, I think Coach was talking about
from Georgia.
He is going to be Tarik called him a 300-pound cat, Coach. I mean, he literally is going to be something to be reckoned with for many years here.
That Eagles team
I've
is really
watched
good.
Him. Cook? I've watched him since he was young. He was a man-child, you know, early on in college. I mean, he's dominant. I mean, that cat can play.
Yep.
He can dominate a game. He closes things off. By, you know, he can deter an offense from saying we don't even want to probe inside.
I sent Derek a clip of Jalen and the pulling guard. He didn't cut him. He went low on him, but didn't fall on the ground, and he jumped over the guard. It was amazing. I was like, this is the most amazing thing. I never seen a three technique or four technique jump over a pulling guard and then be ready to make the play. I mean, that's the type of athlete.
What happens, too, is, you know, he didn't have a big stat game. He had a couple quarterback hits, but, you know, that opened, I mean, 93, Milton Williams, that opens, I mean, because he's getting double teamed, right?
Well,
so he,
well, coach,
his teammate gets two sacks and two PFLs. I mean, that's what it's about.
Coach, tell us this. You much rather have a guy who gives pressure and makes people uncomfortable than just a few sacks. You got to make the quarterback uncomfortable.
You know, I there's been a lot written about him today, and you just said it. One of you guys just said it. They have to give him so much attention. You can't double anybody else. And they have other good defensive linemen. And those guys are all going one-on-one, which is really unfair. And so I'm telling you, they've done a nice job there with personnel. And they've got an unbelievable future.
Frees up those linebackers. You know, Sweat.
The linebackers are never going to get touched.
Yeah.
Sweat
had 2.5 sacks, 2 TFLs. You know, Zach had a nice pick. You know, I was happy.
But that
for
was
him.
All disruption.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I want to take a moment.
Zach.
Go ahead, Coach.
I was just going to say the great thing, Zach is getting a lot of credit. He led the team in tackles. I heard some of the talking heads nationally are giving him making him the difference in the improvement of the team, which is awesome. But the good thing for Zach, he better be good friends with those cats in front of him.
That's right.
Because they're going to keep him protected as long as they're playing.
And, guys, I want to point out someone who's been keeping us protected, keeping us sounding good, feeling good the whole year round. This is Riley Yauch, the ESPN Madison Everlight Solar Studio. Right now, he is our producer, and Jesse Nelson is standing outside with a bunch of Great Dane Pub and Brewing Company food that we have brought for you, Riley.
There you go, Riley.
You can hear
Riley
Jesse
is the
Nelson.
Best.
Coach calls
Riley
me.
Riley is the absolute best.
Thank you. Thank
Coach
you, guys.
Coach calls me with less than a minute before the show. Something had gone wrong in the tech side, and I just immediately, Riley's got it, and we were up and running before the show even started. You wouldn't know it because Riley's been a sound producer and just holding the ship together the whole year. What'd you get, Riley?
I don't know. I got to open the bag. Give me 1 second. I wish I had the camera up. All right, you can hear the
you know
paper.
What I used to say, Riley's been to handling school. He can handle it.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
All right, we got the mac and cheese with the pretzel bun. Heck yeah. Thank you, guys.
Love to hear it.
Really
Valentine's Day
it.
Is coming up, so if you have someone that you need to make feel appreciated, there is no better place to enjoy dinner than one of the 4 Great Dane Pub and Brewing Company locations, Hilldale, Eastside, Fitchburg, or right here where we are right now, downtown. This week only, get their limited time special grilled sirloin and shrimp linguine. I know we just ordered our food, guys, but man, I might have to ring in a new order. You can finish off your meal with a plantain foster for dessert. Hurry, they are only available until Sunday, February 16th. That's pretty much just through Valentine's Day and your makeup Valentine's Day specials. The Great Dane Pub and Brewing Company, Madison's original brew pub, serving award-winning craft beers and great food since 1994, guys.
Dude,
Riley's a cheap date. Mac and cheese?
Yeah.
Hey, that, no problem.
No issue. I'm not picky.
I'm a little disappointed.
Where's the steak and shrimp? He got mac and cheese.
That's on my kids' menu every other night.
We'll buy you dinner every night, man.
Perfect. Hey, sounds good. Thank you, guys. I'll take mac and cheese any day of the week.
I know. And I produced this show for years, and I remember just being so sad. You guys would be like, you and Strofe would sit down. You'd start eating right before we'd come back from commercial and be like, okay, we're going to need to extend this commercial, or like, we're going to go long so that we can eat. I was just, I'm sitting there like, oh, man, I'm hungry alone in this producer's closet, peeling back the curtain full.
Not Tarek. Tarek, he has to hold like the Guinness Book of World Records between segments to like literally an entree would be gone.
I have no excuse either, because you know normally you have like all these siblings that you got to beat to eat. Like I had sisters, right? I there was no competition. My mother was there to. Yeah,
your
feed
mother
me.
Was giving you your plate first.
That's
anyway.
It. I know, but I just. Yeah, obviously I love eating. So,
Coach, who was the biggest eater you can remember come through Wisconsin during your time?
Ooh, Gibby.
Ooh. No, you know what? I don't think Gibby was a real big eater. I think you know.
Well, when he stepped
times,
on campus, he was. But then you know, he got him in shape, Coach.
We had to get him down from 425 to 380.
Was it Mike?
He was svelte at 380.
Mike Galletti did win. The key lime pie eating contest at the Hall of Fame Bowl in Tampa.
Yeah, Galletti did that.
Who won the prime rib at Lowry's?
Oh, we crushed them. That's UCLA.
But was it a collective?
Oh, it was collective.
They don't do that anymore. After we went, I think they've eliminated that.
Yeah.
Because our table took it down too fast.
Our table alone, I know Galletti had four prime ribs.
Oh, my
I
gosh.
Had three. He had to roll us out of there. We were all the offensive line. We counted the stakes. I think it was in the double digits, like north of 20.
Yeah. That was a staple for the Rose Bowl to go to Lowry's and eat their prime rib. And they'd have the TV cameras there.
Oh, yeah.
And they'd show it. It'd be a national deal. They'd get a lot of exposure. Our guys ate them out. They were done. No more
house at home.
I think, Coach, it was inherent in us, but we were not going to lose
anything.
It
didn't matter.
Anything.
We're just not losing.
That was one of our rules. That was one of our rules.
Don't lose anything.
Whatever we do, we got to win.
I love
anything.
It. Anything. All right.
Whatever
we're
they did. It could be a race at the beach. It could whatever it was. And I told my wife the same thing. You go with the wives, if they have a cooking contest, you got to win. You want to win everything they do.
We had a
you got to win. Tell the wives we got to win everything.
Well, against Utah, there was a
that was our attitude going in.
The singing competition. We won a singing competition. Yeah.
Whoa! Who won the singing competition?
I don't remember.
I don't remember.
So neither of you,
it was none of us.
It was probably Lee Durant. No, Lee wasn't on that. Who could it have been? I'm sure it was somebody probably pretty talented, but I don't remember.
Couldn't play dead in a country western movie.
We might have shipped somebody in.
I gotta go back to the coach made a comment about Zach Bond. You know, and Tarek, you weren't here with us last week, but I had heard from someone that Zach's got better number stats than Luke Kuechly did when he won defensive MVP of the year. And that says a lot about Zach and the season he had. I also talked to a mutual friend of ours that was on the staff when Zach was there, and there was concern where, you know, Zach was pretty immature back then. And, you know, he went through some growing pains. And to see where he's at today, the best linebacker, at least in the conversation in the National Football League, you know, with another one, probably T.J. Watt, another Badger. You know, it's fun to see guys like that. I wish I would have seen Leo Chanel a little bit more show up. You know, I don't think he had a very good game or he just didn't show up.
Well, I mean, they helped hold. He was part of the defense that held Saquon Barkley, but at the end of the day, fair enough. Didn't matter.
Yeah, and don't forget, Zach Bond is going from an outside linebacker, I believe in a 3-4. He was playing on the edge, an edge rusher.
Yeah.
to a Mike linebacker, that's not easy to do.
That's a good
that
point.
Just means that he's a football playing son of a gun.
Yeah.
And he understands how to play. And you know what? Every time he goes hard. And what I love about him, and I don't know if that's just the philosophy of the Eagles, but he goes out, he tries to punch the ball out every time.
Oh, he big time.
You know,
and, I think he might have. He was one of the top leaders in the league as far as forced fumbles.
All right. I love the Badgers talk. I love the Super Bowl talk. We are not winning right now. We are losing the time management game. We got to get to break. This is the Great Dane Huddle live from the downtown location of on ESPN Madison.
DJ Khaled. Hey. Yeah. All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind. I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the building, everybody hands go up. And they stay there, and they say yeah, and they stay there. Cause all I do is win, win, win. And if you go in, put your hands in the air, make them stay there.
Winners all over. This is the Great Dane Huddle live from the downtown location of the Great Dane Pub and Brewing Company. I'm Alex Pratt alongside Tarek Saleh and Derek Engler. And of course, from his undisclosed location, somewhere much, much warmer, it is Coach Barry Alvarez, who... Okay, we'll get to it in a second, but Nick Sirianni, the Eagles head coach, has revealed his secret to good coaching. And Coach, I want to ask, before we get, you know, our opinions tainted by his, what is your secret to good coaching?
I think a good coach has to be able to read his situation, read his team, and be able to put his guys in the best situation possible and do the things that they can actually do.
And so when you look at a guy like Zach Bond, who was playing outside linebacker and special teams and all this stuff, and then gets moved to the center, you know, the center of the field, middle linebacker, where he has to be kind of the captain of the defense, is it better coaching that he gets moved, or was it bad coaching that he didn't get there earlier?
No. You know, he was an outside linebacker with us. He's been there forever. But with their situation and the guys that they've got, you know, we've talked about them already. The nose guard and that three technique, they occupy everybody up front. Zach Bond, you want to play middle linebacker for the Eagles.
Yep.
Nobody's going to block you. You're going to run to that. You're going to get to the ball all the time free. Because those guys are going to occupy the offensive line. I mean, he's got a great situation. Keep those guys happy. Feeding those guys.
That is the truth. I mean, there's a reason Ray Lewis was, you know, a Hall of Famer, because he had Sam Adams and Tony Siragusa in front of him. I mean, those are tons of fun now. Both those guys could literally tie up four offensive linemen, G-Man. Look, those linebackers are running free.
I think it's a combination of things. Because they built a good program there. They got a GM who's done really well in the draft. He evaluates players well. So he evaluated Zach Bond, brought him in, and then they coached him up, and then there's a little bit of luck there, you know, that he was able to do all things that they want him to do. But like, and I'm not saying he's lucky to be a great player, but that's what, you know, to make the switch and then for him to fall.
He's a football player.
That's right.
He's a football player. He's got a nose for the ball.
Yeah. Amen. And Sirianni, didn't they start the season 2-2? He was taking a lot of heat from national media.
He got a fight with the fans.
You know, they collapsed last year at the end of the season. He had a fight with the fans, Tark, to your point. you know, so, that, you know, kudos to him. You know, to keep it on the tracks. I don't know what he said or what you were referring to as far as the secret sauce of coaching.
All right.
He definitely didn't invent it, but he did something right.
Here
obviously,
is Nick
world
Sirianni's secret to good head coaching.
All right.
Have good players.
Yeah. Okay, well. Jeez. Were we reinventing the wheel there? What in the world?
It felt a little crazy. Also, the Chiefs have good players too. I know we talked about it, and we're all on the same page. The Eagles have the more talented, deeper team. But man, what a cop out. That's my second least favorite answer I've heard from a coach.
Well, you know, he's given credit to the players, which I can appreciate that. I mean, you know, obviously, like I just mentioned, to come on, that ain't easy. New York, Philly, those media cities, they'll beat you up quickly and chew you up, spit you out. And Philly's one of them. And, you know, he faced that adversity, so overcame it with his team.
He's not giving himself enough credit. And, like, what Coach did and other great coaches, they build a culture, and they build the expectation of what they expect and what they don't expect, and they hold people to it from the top down. So, like, Belichick or Coach Alvarez would go after Daryl Bevel and Brett Moss and hold them accountable, and then so better get my ass in gear because, like, I could be kicked off the team.
Coach had his guys, his captains, his senior. It was a trickle down effect. So when he gave us freedom at bowl games, it was up to the senior leadership to police the team. Literally, and you know, if you're gonna, it's okay to have fun, have these experiences. But he relied on his captains, his seniors, just like when Tarek and I, you know, when we went to the Copper Bowl in Tucson, you know, same thing. You know, he gave us the responsibility of making sure nobody got out of line. We all watch out for each other. You know, that's really important. You know, because obviously the coaches can't do that. You know, it's up to the players.
And there are moments where you show, you know, a real candid side. You know, I remember we were playing at Illinois, and it was a really tough game because Callahan came back. We're on the road.
Oh, yeah.
Callahan was suspended during a Minnesota game that we lost. And, you know, Lou Tepper was this big evangelist, like Mr. Clean. And
Coach, what did you just say?
Coach addressed the team.
He liked his soapbox.
And, we needed to win the game. And basically he said, listen, but, you know, let me take care of Lou Tepper and you guys take care of them. And it was like we all got – I forgot how you said it, Coach. But we felt like this was authentic and he was ready to kick Lou Tepper's ass. And we were going to kick Illinois' ass, and that's the way it went. But it was the truth. It's real. It's not like pop and circumstance. It's like we're gonna be real. Coach is real, and we're going to go out and get after him. So,
all right. And we've been talking about the NFL and the Super Bowl, and we only have a few more minutes with you guys before you leave.
Man. You gotta freaking get nasty, man.
You know, you want me to get nasty?
A little bit. Like, come on.
Listen, I'm trying to bring it home to Badgers because I've got five more minutes with the three
disc golfer.
That's right. I'm not a disc golfer, Derek. You know this. Derek. You want me mean and nasty? I'm an ultimate player.
Ultimate player.
Thank you very much. Go Madison Radicals. All right, we've got 5 minutes left with you three before you flock off. For your, you know, extended break.
Did you get that?
Yo, am I going to have to dump that, G?
I don't know. There was an L in there, though.
Flock like eagles.
I thought I heard something
Go
else.
Birds. All right. What should
you're
we
not
be watching?
To the cabana
844-700-3776.
Show's canceled.
We're opening the show flock. Next week and we're out done. Of the cabana.
That's just, right.
Just talk crap against these guys. Someone back me up. I'm feeling awfully alone here. As we look into this, you know, extended offseason, I want to hear what from you in particular, Coach. You're not worth my time anymore, Tar. Coach.
All right, you're tough enough.
Thank you. What should we as Badger fans be looking out for good signs of progress from this, you know, Badgers squad coming into 2025-6?
Well, I think you want to watch the positive signs in reports coming from spring practice, out of season conditioning. They give some reports from there, you know, and there's always.
And we lost Coach. So Tarek, now that you're, you know,
Sun
the second
out
at Coach is back. Sorry, we lost you there for a second, Coach. Could you repeat what you said?
You've got to. The fans should be listening to and reading what is happening, like in the out of season program. Who is stepping up? There's always someone, a freshman, who all of a sudden matures and is running faster, jumping higher. He's grown. He's making a difference, and he's going to be someone that contributes right away. And you want to see that, and you'd like to see a few of them, because those are the guys that are going to make a difference next year. So that's one thing our fans should be looking for.
Tarek, Derek, thoughts?
No, I think, guys, you know, at this age, they're 18 to 21 years old, 22. They can make huge strides, to Coach's point. And they could really make a difference. I know my freshman year, I was not very good, and I learned a lot. But the weight room really helped me. That spring ball really helped me, and it made a huge difference. I was ready to play. So you could see a lot of the growth between, you know, for freshman and sophomore at, you know, making that jump.
Yeah, the landscape is completely changed, obviously, where you have, you know, 20, 30 players, you know, it's like the NFL with free agency, really. But at the same time, something that has not changed is the bonds that are created when you're busting your ass in winter offseason strength and conditioning. I mean, there is nothing worse. But that's truly what creates that bond. When you go through that together, that pain, that suffering, because it ain't fun. and you go through that, and then you go through spring ball. I mean, that's all part of it. It doesn't stop. You know, and this is truly where, you know, you create a team is in the offseason.
Coach, was there a moment when these two were on the team that you felt like it came together during the offseason and everyone kind of stepped up?
You know, it's everyone. It's every offseason. You see guys mature. You know, both of these guys, Derek a little later than Tarek. You know, Tarek played a little bit as a freshman. We expected him, and his coach and his position opened some doors for him. You know, our line, we were deep in the line. So Derek had to really work hard, and you saw him mature and get better and better as he grew. But it's the guys who continue to work and aren't afraid to put time in and effort, and it's important to them to be good and want to play. And it, you know, you recognize that. And that's a lot of that is in the off season.
All right. Tarek, Derek, you have just a minute left before we send you off packing for a beautiful off season. Any final thoughts on the UW season, the football season as a whole?
Well, I mean, obviously there's a lot of work to do, you know, because nobody's satisfied with the losing record. You know, it's the first time in, I don't know, I mean, decades, you know, and, you know, it's all on, you know, Luke and his staff to get, and I don't care about the schedule. We talked about this last week. We embrace that. You got to embrace that. And it sounds like this staff is, and, you know, and the players will too. They'll follow suit. I mean, everybody wants to play. I mean, we don't want to play Purdue. You want to play Ohio State. That's who you want to play.
And we brought 14 or so guys in the NIL portal. We got a recruiting class that's highly rated. They got a chance to all grow. I know a lot of those freshmen are going to come in the spring ball. I'm excited to see how they develop. A new offense coordinator. You know, there's a lot to look forward to. We got to develop. And I want to give one special shout out to Coach. Thank you for joining the show.
It's been fantastic.
We actually have listeners now.
We've
got fans.
Well, that's a good sign. So let me just say this. I want to answer that. I want to answer. This spring practice is important because after having a losing season, there has to be a pride in this team that they want to come back and bounce back and be relevant again. And I don't like it. Nobody likes. I mean, we went a long time. We worked our fannies off to start winning, win championships, and be good, and go to bowl games every year. And damn it, did it better than everybody for 20 some years, after not going for like a million years. And so now these guys have to fight their ass off to get back into that groove.
Well said.
And I hope that they understand that. They've got a responsibility. I don't like where we are right now. They need to bounce back and put this program back where it belongs.
There's nothing else I can say after that. Nope, that was Coach Barry Alvarez.
Drop the mic right there.
Drop the mic, yeah. And that's how we're going to end this season of the Great Dane Huddle. Thanks so much
appreciate
for your time, Coach. Tarek, Derek,
it's
been great. This has been the Great Dane Huddle live from the downtown location of the Great Dane.